got a brilliant session for you this morning. Parents, don't forget to pick them up at the end of the service, please. Our kids team need coffee as well. It's always awesome having live praise and worship in the house. Can we give our band a big round of applause? Awesome. Well, I'm super excited for church, and I'm going to be telling you about all of the Christmas-related things coming up pretty soon. But just before we do, we want to say welcome to church and a special warm welcome to anybody who's here for the very first time. At church, we love new visitors. We love new visitors so much that we give them a gift every time. Come along, and it's their first time. I want you to do something super brave for just a moment. We won't embarrass you or anything like that, but just for a moment, how about you stick up your hand? We have some hosts who would love to give you a gift. I believe, Ali, you brought along good friends. So, Matthew, right up there. Church, have a give them a big welcome. So good to see you guys. So, inside that bag is some chocolate. You can help yourself as we would love it if during the service or at the end, you could take a pen and fill out that form with your details. Doesn't sign you up to anything, but it just allows us to keep you up to date with all the brilliant stuff that is happening in the life of our church. So thank you so much for choosing to be with us this Sunday morning. One of the brilliant things that's coming out, in fact, it's all Christmas themed this morning. Christmas is on the horizon. Does anyone have their decorations or their tree up yet? Anybody that early? One person, brilliant. Okay, prophesying, leading the way. The rest of us will join you soon, I'm sure. I need to get my Advent calendar. I need to find space for a tree and everything. But next week, we are kicking off Christmas. You might have seen some signs around town that next week, on the 24th of November, is the Christmas light switch on here in New Malden. And we, as a church, have a stall over in Jubilee Square from 4 o'clock till 8 o'clock in the evening. We're going to be there. We're going to be handing out sweets. They arrived on our doorstep yesterday. Yesterday, I had to hold back, think, no, they're not for me. What we are doing is we are wanting to give out sweets, give out gifts to folks in the community free of charge. We'll hand them a little flyer telling them about who we are and all the great stuff we have coming up. But if you want to get involved in this, in the setup beforehand, during the session where you want to say hi to people, packing sweets into bags, pack down at the end, come and talk to me or Rachel. We have a few volunteers already who will be there, but we always love more. This is a real great opportunity for us to say, as a church, we want to bless this community. We are not just here for ourselves, but Jesus said we want to be a light on a hill, a city set on a hill, and we want to shine the light of Jesus into New Malden and beyond. So come and chat to me or Rachel or one of the team afterwards if you want to get involved with this. Because we are going to be inviting people to some of our brilliant events. We're going to have a whole few weeks of church at the movies, so expect popcorn and drinks, party. We have on the 10th of December a kids' Christmas party. Nikita has been hard at work with this, and during the service, kids from our church and kids from the community are invited to experience the story of the Nativity with arts and crafts, fun and games, and a few surprises along the way. And then the following week, Sunday the 17th of December, the week before Christmas, we are going to be having a carol service. Some traditional carols, our team has been preparing them, and again, a few surprises along the way. These are both, as well as Church at the Movies, all the next few weeks are fantastic Sundays to invite your friends and family along to. So look around. If you see an empty seat around you, that is a nudge from the Holy Spirit to be able to invite someone along so they can experience the one time of the year, perhaps, when Jesus is welcome on the scene in everyone's lives, the reason for the season. Make sure you come along and make sure you bring a few friends along with you. Does that sound all right? Good. Well, lots of cool stuff coming up in the life of the church. The next cool thing is another brilliant message. Rachel and I have been on holiday this week, just a short break, a little baby moon, I believe they call it. It'll be our last holiday, probably for quite a long time before our little one arrives. And we were discovering some pretty amazing stuff where we went, but I'll avoid spoiling it. I'm going to hand over to Pastor Rachel now. She comes to share the word. How about we give her a big welcome, big round of applause.
Awesome. Yeah, as Chris, and I don't do this all the time. We're actually in Greece this week. and I don't do this all the time. I don't travel all the time. We just needed to use all the vouchers before the baby's born, so, you know, why not? Quite funny, on the way, nobody questioned me whether I was pregnant or not when I went on the flight. And then after all the Greek food I ate, on the way back, it was like at every stop, it was like, how pregnant are you? Are you going to pop on the plane? Like, I kept getting stopped. It was very, very funny. But yeah, so today I'm going to do a message and where we're going to, we want to reach out to our local community. At the start of the year, Chris did a message on things that we were believing for as a church and things we really felt. We don't always do this every year, but there were three goals that Chris brought and things we felt like were actually areas we were praying for breakthrough in. And one of them was having a live band, and we see that today. And I know that band is building, and I know in the future. And it's really exciting what God is doing and who God is raising up. And one of them was moving into a newer venue, and it's nice being in a venue with heating, and not everyone is shivering and all of that. So we're very happy with the facilities and being really in the center of New Malden and the local community. But the other thing we were talking about was local community impact. And this is something we've been praying about and something we've been really believing. How can we impact our local community in an even greater way? I know there's so many people in this room that have come in through different arenas of what we've done, through maybe our Farsi Iranian ministry, and we're so, so excited, and we're so excited for the nations of the world that we see coming together. We're so excited for every person, every salvation. But we also wanted in New Malden, we were praying for really an opening, and we're seeing now doing this Christmas market. It's really exciting how that happened. And then the next three Sundays, I think Chris would have said, is going to be movie Sundays where you can invite your friends, you can invite people, you can invite neighbors. And really it's a popular film that everyone or a lot of people would know. It's a film that with a story that people enjoy. And then we'll take some clips and we'll say biblical truths on those clips. And it's a really accessible way for people to hear the gospel. And then that leads into our Christmas carol concert. And in the UK, a Christmas carol concert is such a big thing. It's really tradition coming into the world. And it's really a friend or a neighbor. Many people actually really would love to come to a carol concert. And so we've got that coming up. And really this is about our vision as a church. We want to move forward. So our vision as a church, and the vision doesn't change. Sometimes our church culture and how we get there, we work on and we have different values. But our vision as a church is to win souls. It's to make disciples, it's to transform communities, and it's to transform nations. And so we want to see people won for Jesus. We really want to be out there. We want to be on the move. We want to see people transformed with the light of Jesus, see people's lives changed. We don't want to be stuck in kind of an insular environment. We actually want to be out there. We want to see people who have gone from here to there and be welcomed into our environment. And so this morning, I'm actually doing, and we've talked about this a lot, I'm doing a message on reaching out, but it's going to be a masterclass from Paul, from Paul's letters. So we're going to go through some of Paul's letters, and we're going to have this masterclass of actually how Paul reached out, how Paul was a missionary in his context. And we're going to go to Athens. So we were able to, when we were in Athens, we were able to go to all just the different sites, and then we were able to read scripture and actually really understand how did Paul reach these people, these Greek people who were completely away from the gospel. So we read in Acts 17, verse 16 first, that now while Paul was waiting for them at Athens, his spirit was provoked within him as he saw that the city was full of idols. So Paul walked into the city in Athens. He's waiting for his fellow ministers, and he walks in and he's provoked because he sees all around him that there's these idols, there's these statues that people are worshipping other gods. And if you know anything about the ancient Greeks, they also had some things going, not so great practices and different sexual practices and other things going on in that region. And Paul walks into this place and he sees this stuff. And he's provoked. Inside, he wants to preach the gospel. He was going to just move on to the next place, but he's like, no, I actually need to stay here. I need to show these people the light of Jesus. They actually need God in their lives. I want to stay here. I want to minister. So firstly, his spirit inside is provoked. And I pray that in our local community that we're actually provoked to see transformation, to see people changed, to see those that have been so bound by different things, to see them transformed and changed. So behind me is a picture of Chris in the marketplace. And now this is the very marketplace which Paul had that experience where he was actually provoked. And if you go back to the previous picture, and so as you can see, there's some white stumps, and those were idols. Those were the statues. And everywhere you went, there was more statues and things, and that would have been full of people. Like, you wouldn't have been able to move. You would have walked into that place, and you would have just seen idols and things, and there's a temple up there, and temples all around of different things. And we were walking from a completely different culture, went into this Greek culture with full of other gods, full of people doing crazy things. And then he walks and he's like, I'm going to preach the gospel. And so he decides to preach to people in synagogues. He decides to preach. The philosophers, the thinkers were like, who is this person? We want to understand. We want to hear more of what he has to say. And then they actually took him and decided that they wanted to hear his teaching on this big hill. And that hill was a place where many philosophers and teachers would come and bring new thoughts in Greece and bring new understanding and ideas. And behind me, if you flick onto the next picture, this is the hill. And so it's all the way overlooking Athens. And that hill is, they would all sit there and they would all ponder and wonder. And that is called the Areopagus, the hill. But if you see behind me on the hill over there, that is called the Acropolis. I'm getting the lingo right. So if you flick onto the next slide, that is me while pregnant with on the hill. And there's the Acropolis in the background. And then in the next one. So that is the Acropolis. And that is a massive temple called, getting my lingo right, the Parthenon. Chris is very proud of me. And that was a big temple to the goddess Athena. And so even on that hill, overlooking that, is another temple. And there were temples all around that temple and gods everywhere. And if you flick again, we'll go back to the hill. That's us on the hill. So Paul is there, surrounded by idols, surrounded by just another culture and people who are interested, by the way, and just wanting to understand, what is this God that he's trying to say? Who is this? And then Paul addresses them on the Areopagus. We read, so Acts 17, verse 22. So Paul, standing in the midst of the Areopagus, said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very... I found also an altar with this inscription, this I proclaim to you." So we're going to stop there. So Paul is quoting, he's showing them that actually there's a statue in the marketplace. He's seen this statue, and it's to the unknown God. And he's saying, he's pulling out something from their culture and saying, you know what, you're seeking God. He's not going, and I love this, he's not going into Greece and then giving them loads of things they don't understand, or giving them like all the Torah commandments that they would have no idea of. He picks out this statue from the marketplace and he says, actually, you're seeking God. You're seeking and you're worshiping an unknown God. Let me explain who God is. Let me show you. It's like he has this, he's picking out a picture of in their culture, and then he's able to talk to them, to explain. And then he starts addressing all these temples around. So then we read in verse 24, the God who made the world and everything in it. This is Paul preaching and speaking to them. Being Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples made by man, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mankind life and breath and everything. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all of the face of the earth, having determined allotted periods and the boundaries of their dwelling place, that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him. And then actually verse 27 ends with, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. That God, you've got temples over here. You're trying to serve all of these gods. You're trying to do things with your hands. You're trying to work your way up to God. But you can seek him and you can find him. He's not far from you. I love that he uses these all around him, these temples, these things, in a very, very missional way. And then he says, you know what? God's not far from you. He's not found in having to sacrifice so many things to the gods. He's found in a person. He's found, you can seek him. You can have access to God. You can have access to a savior. It's like Paul is welcoming them in. So first he picks the statue and says, you know what? In that culture, I understand your culture. I understand you. You're seeking God. Let me show you who God really is. And then we go further on. And so we hear the end of verse 27, yet he is actually not far from each one of us. And then verse 28, he says, for in him we live and move and have our being. And that's actually a famous Bible verse, a quote, and many people would know that. But not many people know where that's from. So Paul actually picks out a verse, a poem from Greek culture that's actually talking about the god Zeus, and he pulls out what they know. In him we live and move and have our being. It's not found in the temple to Zeus. It's not found in those temples, but he pulls out that from actually a famous poem of that time, and the poem, if you put the poem on the screen. So this was a poem by Epimenides. I probably said that completely wrong. Oh, apparently it was good. From Crete, and he was a philosopher and a poet, and he had this poem that Zeus was, many of the Crete people believed that Zeus was mortal, and he believed that Zeus was immortal, and then the last line is, for in you we live. He understood the lingo, he understood the language, but he also understood the gospel, and could say that actually that is God, but that stuff isn't God. So he could pick it out, and he could reach these philosophers, these people, these men of Greece who were on this hilltop. He could reach them by saying, for in you, for in him, in our God, we live and move and have our being. It's not about Zeus, it's actually about this unknown God. That's the God. In him we live and move and have our being. And that's correct theology. And then he goes on, for we are indeed his offspring, And again, he's quoting another poem. So it's actually, so if you go on to the next verse. So for we are indeed his offspring. We know that we are God's sons and God's daughters. We know theologically from the New Testament, we understand that we are God's workmanship. We are sons and daughters. We are made in the image of God. We understand that from all the way through Scripture. But Paul picks this out. For we are indeed his offspring, as even some of the poets have said. And this was a poet by a person called, and I hope I get this right, Aratus? Okay, Aratus, great. And again, it was a poem talking about the god Zeus. Not that Paul believed in Zeus. Paul believed in God. Paul believed in Jesus. He wasn't preaching anything else, but what he was doing was he was using a story, the language of the day, to actually meet the people where they were at. And here is the poem where it's from. For we are indeed his offspring. About our God. The most amazing thing, I think, is that God wants to meet you where you're at. It's not everything doesn't make sense. Everything's so complex. Show him who he is to you, in your world, in your culture, so that we can actually be saved. We can be set free. It's not about making it so difficult to understand Scripture. It's not about having to pass so many tests and so many things of how much you can recite and how much you can do. And actually, Bible memorization is a great thing, actually. But it's not about that to get into the kingdom. He wants to reach to you. I love that Jesus came down to us. I love that Jesus reached out to us. It wasn't about us working our way up to him. It wasn't about us trying to sacrifice the most things. But Jesus came so that we could have a relationship with God. So that we could be forgiven. We could be set free. So that we could know God. We could go from glory to glory. We could change. Our minds can change as we step forward. The way we think, the way we, at Christmas, the light of Jesus coming into the world, we can have that light of Jesus in us. I actually love that Christmas was, the way Christmas was chosen, the date. So what happened in many European countries was before the message of the gospel came into these areas, they used to actually have different pagan festivals in the middle of winter, and actually it was quite dark stuff. But what they did when the light of the gospel came into the world, when, you know what, we're not going to celebrate the darkness, we're going to celebrate the light coming into the world. So we changed the celebration. It's like what Paul was doing with picking things out and showing them, picking out the poems, showing them who God really is. What we did in many of the European countries is we changed it from darkness celebrating and the middle of winter and the darkness to a celebration of the light of the world coming in. And that's why we actually picked those dates, because there were festivals anyway and we changed them to be a festival of Jesus and a festival of light. And we can do that. I don't know, there's many different cultures here. And maybe there's many different families, many different ways of looking at things, and there's many different things that we can actually create and understand and move forward and reach out with. God actually made us creative. He made Paul creative to be able to pick this stuff out and say, that's who God is, and that's who God isn't. And we're going to read on. So Paul now is addressing idols and the statues. He says, being then God's offspring, we ought not to think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image formed by the art and imagination of man. So he's now addressing all of the stuff around him. That he's quoted this poem, this verse, that God, we are God's offspring. So if we're God's offspring, why are we having to make all these statues, all these things? Come on, we are. If we believe, if you believe, even in your culture, that we are God's offspring, then why are we making all these idols? Why are we doing all of this stuff? And then he's able to preach the gospel. After talking through and after being able to relate to them, those people, to understand their culture, to understand how they viewed God, he's then able to say, actually, a gospel message. He says, the times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, which just means to turn away from the old life and to turn towards him. Because he has a fixed day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man who he has appointed. So that's what we want to do. We want to be able to preach the gospel, preach Jesus, preach the fact that Jesus has been raised from the dead. And this is such good news. This is such good news that we no longer have to focus on our own morality. We no longer have to focus on our own inadequacy, that Jesus has been raised from the dead. There's resurrection life. There is life after death, that we don't have to live a life where we're so worried about the future, that there's actually life and life forevermore. We want to be able to preach that. But it's like Paul is using a kind of movie clip kind of feel. And that's what we want to do. Maybe the language of today is entertainment or movies. And that's what we want to do for the next few weeks, is take the language of the culture around us. Maybe a great story in our culture, a great film. And then we want to show the gospel. We want to show that people can actually be reached through that, reached through a story. It's relational. And then we read that some believed. Not everyone believed. Some people in the Greek culture thought this is craziness, because he's talking about someone and that's the proof of the gospel. But some believed straight away. Some of those Greek people who had never encountered God, they'd never been to a synagogue, they'd never been in that environment, some of them believed straight away and actually followed Paul and followed the ministry. And so that's what we pray. We pray that whoever comes into this space, whether they follow straight away, whether they take time, whether their family members get saved or whatever happens, we have so much hope that some people have believe, some people get saved, some people know the light of Jesus. And that's our passion, that's our mission as believers. It's not always about, I think you go into some environments and it's about hierarchy, and it's about hierarchy of this and hierarchy of gifts, hierarchy of whatever. But we believe in serving. We believe that the servant of all is the greatest. That those that serve and actually bring people, make disciples, it's such an exciting thing. It's such a rewarding thing to see people around you come to faith, to see people in this room who've come to faith, to see people find the light of Jesus. It's so exciting. And Paul was really a servant. In 1 Corinthians, and actually we went to Corinth as well, and so in Athens we have the fact that there were people that believed and followed Paul straight away just from this mini preach he did on this hilltop. But in Corinth, he actually founded a church, and in other parts of Greece, he founded a church through this missionary journey through going around and actually spreading the gospel to different cultures and different people. For though I am free from all, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win more of them. To the Jews I became as a Jew, in order to win Jews. To those under the law I became as one under the law, though not being myself under the law, that I might win those under the law. To those outside the law, I became as one outside the law, not being outside the law of God, but under the law of Christ, that I might win those outside the law. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it all for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. He's laid down his rights, and he said, you know what? I'm going to become all things to all people. I'm going to go after people. I'm going to understand people. I think in today's culture, we see so many divisions, so many things going on, so many people with different opinions and different things going on. I mean, I know that many of the older people and older people in church label the younger people as woke, and they label those people as this, and they label those people as that. And I love Paul. He's just like, I want to serve. Yeah. The biggest thing that matters is Christ. It's not my rights. It's not my right to say whatever I want right now in this second. But the biggest thing in my life is Christ. The thing that I want to preach, the thing that I want to be remembered for, the thing that I want the world to know is Christ. I want them to know the light. So I serve. I reach out. I become all things to all people. And I mean for that he completely goes against Jesus. It doesn't mean that. He keeps truth in his life. But he's able to, with the Greeks, he's able to understand, pick things out and go, okay, you're trying to understand God here. Here's God. Maybe in your culture, there's been trying to understand and seek God here, and it's like, no, God is actually like this. God actually wants to bring you life. God wants to bring you health. God wants actually good things and not bad things. God is not a God of being vindictive. God is a God of mercy. Maybe there's things in your culture, things in your world that actually we could look at and actually say, you know what? This is how we preach the gospel in that environment. This is how we say, you know what? God is actually like this. Maybe you know family members, you know friends, maybe in other countries or around. There's ways, there's things that actually they don't have to pass through all of these hoops and things that they can be reached by a simple gospel message, by simply knowing the name of Jesus, by knowing the light of Jesus. And Paul, I love this. I love that he doesn't have to push his own opinions on others. I mean, we read this in Romans 14 about eating meat or not eating meat. So there's these people that believe that it's spiritually wrong to eat meat. And there's these people who are probably making fun, preach to them. And instead of going, you know what, I have the right to do this. I have the right to eat meat. I will show them who's boss. And I will show them, like, all of that stuff. He doesn't do that. He says in Romans 14, verse 1. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. He says, come on, let's not bother about these quarreling and these silly opinions. Let's be all things to all people. He's like, around people who believe it's morally, spiritually wrong, I will eat only vegetables. Around people who believe it's right, I will eat meat. Because actually, I want to preach Christ. I'm not preaching diet. I'm preaching Christ. I'm not preaching this. I'm preaching Christ. On Friday, we were on the bus, and we were actually getting back from the airport. And we were upstairs on the bus, and these two guys wanted the windows closed. And so they went around and they put all of the windows closed. And then another guy wanted his fresh air and wanted the window open. And it sounds funny, but it actually got heated to the point where it turned into like threatening, like I'm gonna mess you up, beat you up. It was really quite intimidating about windows. I think sometimes it's human nature. We can quarrel over when actually Paul is saying, and really Paul's mission and Paul's masterclass in mission is to say, I lay it all down for the sake of the gospel. I lay down my opinions on if the window is closed or open. I lay down my opinions on diet. I lay down my opinions, maybe it's on certain political things in some ways or whatever it is. I lay it down for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of Christ, for the sake of saving people, for the sake of reaching out to people. We're dreaming of seeing many people in many different churches come to God, come to faith, hear the light of Jesus. I dream as well of young people who've gone away and felt disillusioned, and teenagers coming to Jesus and knowing Jesus and being able to reach down to a next generation, being able to reach down and actually say, you know what, you are welcome in church. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in the kingdom. And as we look forward to the next number of weeks, I pray that we get something of God's heart. We get something of God's heart for people. And Paul, I love just the mission. The fact that he wanted to be there with the people. His tone is so different when he's with people that don't know Jesus. And then those who maybe have been in church for a long, long time, and those that actually should know better, his tone is completely different. And to understand Paul's heart, I think, to be able to reach down, to not judge and cast judgment on people that have no idea, but to tell them, to meet them where they're at, and to tell them this God of light, this God of salvation, this God of mercy, this God of love, this God of miracles, this God of hope, in a world that feels sometimes so hopeless, in a world where so many people feel hopeless, there's a God of hope. That's something we can reach people in. With so many people have gone through so many mental health things, and we can say, actually, there's a God of hope. Here's hope. Here's the light of the world coming into your life. Here's the light of the world. There's a message of hope, a message of truth. And we're going to spend some time really praying. Praying that we understand that. Praying that actually areas where maybe we've gotten, I guess, stuck. Areas where we've felt that we can't see God that way. We can't see hope full of light reaching down to us. We can't see God that changes us, that's full of hope, full of light. And then I think we're going to pray for our community and those around as we look forward to these exciting times, these exciting Sundays. So maybe you want to bow your heads and close your eyes. And we thank you, Jesus, that you are the God of hope. You are the God who brings us peace. We thank you, Lord, that you meet us where we're at. And you pull us out of the darkness into the light. And I pray over every single person here for a new revelation of you. We bind down now all of the work of the enemy, all of the work of darkness in our minds and our thoughts. We bind down the even situations and things that have just gotten stuck in our lives. And we loosen heaven. We loosen the hope of Jesus, the hope of eternal life, the hope of restoration, the hope of healing, the hope of a future and a hope. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for your joy. We release joy now in Jesus' name. We release your joy, the joy of knowing you, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And now I want to pray for the community. And this I don't want to do on my own. This is all of us. We're going to pray for those around us to know the light of Jesus. We're going to maybe you want to raise a hand. Actually, maybe you want to stand up. That would be great. Let's all stand up. And what we're going to do is we're going to pray God's kingdom come. God's kingdom of light. God's kingdom of goodness. God's kingdom of mercy, of salvation. So if you want to lift your voices, we're going to pray God's kingdom come. Maybe you have a person in mind. We pray. And if you heard that message and you know that actually I have not said yes to Jesus, but I want to know this God. I want to know. I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. I want this. Or maybe you did a very long time ago and you know that actually I've gone away and I need to come back. We're going to have an opportunity now to say yes to Jesus. So if everyone repeats after me, dear Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for rising again. I choose to follow you. And I declare that you are Lord. And you are my Lord. Amen. And just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed still, if you said that as a first time, or you said that and you know it's been a long time and you know that you've been away, then after three, to raise your hand, and this is just to say to God. So one, two, awesome. Anyone in here? Awesome. Brilliant.
Love a good masterclass in the Bible. That's great. I really hope that you've been inspired and blessed by this message. Sure, in the coming weeks as we do Church at the Movies, next week we're at the Christmas market, but also in your own life. If you've got friends, if you've got loved ones, if you've got work colleagues who you are desperate to see come to know Jesus, just know that Jesus is even more keen than you are. He is more ready to use you and speak through you than you are to be used by God. And I love how the story that Rachel took us through, where Paul, you know, just like we've been talking about in our connect groups about being in the world but not of the world, Paul walks that middle line. He doesn't integrate himself with a community where he's no longer recognizable as a Christian. But neither does he go the other way and stand sort of aloof in judgment saying, I'm drawing the line, I'm separating myself, I'm not like you, you better believe it this way or else. No, he walks that middle line where he speaks the language, he speaks the culture, and in love he says, you know what, I understand you. I understand you. I know who you are. Let me take you on a journey. Let me tell you a story. And he's able to use their words, use their language to say, this is how it is. This is how it's not. Let me show you someone who can fill you with life and joy and hope and freedom. And I believe that for each and every one of us this morning, I definitely need that in my life, but for each and every one of us this morning, God wants to impart that kind of wisdom, that kind of in the world but not of the world, that missional spirit that, yeah, proclaims the name of Jesus, but also sits down with people, takes them out for dinner, takes them out for coffee, understands them, and welcomes them in to a place of belonging in the kingdom in that way. Speaking their language, understanding their culture. And I love how we have so many languages and cultures represented here. Let me tell you a story. Let me take you on a journey. And I believe before the year is out, we're going to see more seats filled. We're going to see more hands raised. We're going to see more glory to God being given by people from many more nations in Jesus' name. Sound good? Awesome. Well, if you just said yes to Jesus, whether you raised your hand or maybe you didn't, but you felt like you wanted to, on the screen behind me is a QR code saying next steps. We would love it if you could give that a scan, and that will take you to our website where there'll be a couple of short videos from a few of the team explaining the brilliant decision that you've made today. We'd love to give you a Bible and something to help you read the Bible. We'd love to get you plugged in into places like connect groups and things like that. But the best advice we can give is just keep on coming back. We would love to walk out this brilliant decision with you that you have made today. Also wanted to say a big thanks for everyone last week who has pledged into Impact Offering. We're still waiting on a few more pledges, but already God's been doing some brilliant stuff. So thank you so much for your generosity. If you would like to pledge to Impact Offering, or if you have any questions about it, come and chat to me or Rachel. We would love to help you do that. But if you also like to give into the life of this church through tithes and offerings, on the screen behind me is another QR code. You can give that a scan if you want to give online. Always say, however, if this isn't your home church, if you wouldn't consider this church your home, if you're just visiting, please feel under no obligation to give. Just let the buckets pass you by. We just want to say thank you for being with us this morning. You are our guest. We hope you have some brilliant conversations over tea and coffee and some awesome food, which we're going to have together after the final song. We could give Pastor Rachel one last round of applause for that brilliant message, that wisdom. May you this week be surprised at the heavenly downloads, the strategies, the godly wisdom that you get to speak to people where they're at. Cool. All right. Well, I'm going to hand back to the team. We're going to go out with one last song of praise. We're going to get our best dancing on, best clapping, best shouting, hands raised, giving God the glory he deserves. Let's go.
Amen. Now we're going to clap our hands, church. Let us sing Living Water.
You are the desert river, bringing life everywhere you go. You're flowing through the wasteland. There is life where your river flows. I'm running to the river where your love heals my weary soul. You're breaking every sorrow. There is life where your river flows.
Sing.
I need the living water. Nothing else can satisfy. You are the living water. I'll praise you for all my life.
Now we clap our hands.
I need the living water. Nothing else can satisfy. You are the living water. I'll praise you for all my life.
One, two, let's move.
I need the living water.
See you.